Hi, everyone. Welcome to the timingresearch.com crowd forecast news for March 18th, 2024. We are recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time, and this is episode number 422. My name is David Kosmeter. I'm the creator of timingresearch.com. And today I have the option professor back for a market outlook episode. So I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Okay. Thanks a lot, David. And welcome, everybody. And just to give you a quick background, I'm Jim, the option professor. I've been in this investment business for decades. I've specialized in options most of the time. Been to the Options Institute in Chicago for advanced options training at the CBOE. And I've traded thousands and thousands of options in my career. So I'm very familiar with the subject and the trading of them. I'm going to share with you my opinions and my views. Again, I'm not doing any specific recommendations. That's for your broker to figure out what's suitable, what's not suitable for you. But I will share my opinions and my views with you today. Okay. And at the end of the broadcast, I'll explain how you can speak to me and what I can do to help you. Let's start out really quick because we're going to go over a lot of stuff here today. So if you want to get a pen and paper ready, might not be a bad thing. We're going to figure out what's going on with NVIDIA. We're going to see about what's going on with Google and Apple. And then we're going to go over some other sectors and markets that might be of interest to you as well. With regards to one of the premises I have right now is I'm a believer in reversion to the mean. Reversion to the mean essentially means the market gets way away from my moving averages, and at some point they gravitate towards them. They either have a minor reversion, which takes you to one of the shorter term moving averages, an intermediate reversion, which is to the intermediate average, or it has a full Monty, which goes down to the longer term averages. I'll show you what I mean in a minute. Just to give you an idea though, because you have to put things in perspective. I'm going to start out with a 20-year graph so you can put things in perspective. When you get way away from my moving averages here, at some point they do revert back down. So in 2021, 2022, we were way up here. The averages were at the red line, the green, and the blue. And we had not only a minor reversion, an intermediate reversion, but we had a full reversion when we went down towards 3,500. Now we had another reversion, and that came from the 4,600 number down to 4,100. And that's when Powell decided to come out with, we're going to cut interest rates in 2024. Why do you think he did that? Because if we broke through these numbers here back in October, we would have possibly gone down all the way down here if things got negative. Okay, so this was a time where I'm sure the Fed and everyone else could see that it's on the ledge. And if we break through the ledge, it's, you know, like anything like a ball in motion, it's hard to stop it. So that's why they stopped it by coming out with their comments. Now, we haven't seen any of these rate cuts, and it's all like waiting for Godot, but they got everybody to put all their money back in. And obviously, that's what happened. Now, the higher we go here doesn't make it less risky or less likely that a reversion is going to happen. So if you didn't buy down here when I was telling people this is a great place to buy, don't compound your mistake by buying when way up here. Because again, you may be able to be lucky and it never stops. But you know how Murphy works. As soon as you get in up here, that's when the reversion could happen. What would make it revert back to the mean? Rates don't go down, but they go up. Earnings were supposed to be great, but they're not. You know, retail sales were down or not down, but they're moderating significantly. If they're moderating retail sales, that could be moderating profits as well in the first quarter, right? So again, there's things that can change. If you've been in it decades like me, you don't get too excited one way or the other because, you know, obviously things change all the time. Okay, so I just want to give you a little overview here. That's the risk of reversion to the mean. You go to the five-year graph and you can see also. Oh, and by the way, on the 20-year graph, I think there's a little bit of a divergence on RSI. Can you see RSI over here was up at 78 back in 2021? And can you see we've made this big new high and RSI right now is at like 67? That's a pretty good, divergence. And that would tell you that seven stocks can't keep us going and that it's not as broad-based as people would like. And there's some indexes like the Russell 2000 that hasn't made any new high. So the bottom line is that's why you have to be somewhat careful up here in my view. You don't want to be not careful. You do it down here go against the blue line. That's when you're not careful. That's when you take your shot. Up here, if you're taking your shot, you're providing good liquidity for the people who bought down here. And you might be setting yourself up for something of a problem. That's my view. Okay, so, but there's other things in the market that don't look like that. And I'll get into that in a minute. Again, on the five-year graph, you don't have to be Phi Beta Kappa to say that this thing's had a big run. And again, this was the time frame where a lot of the stuff I look at was saying, this is on a ledge. They better hold it here or it's going to go into the abyss. And again, Powell's comments and some comments on this AI is going to save the world obviously got us on this bicycle. And of course, it got all the money managers to put their money in there. And they got all the pension funds to put their money in there. And all the guys in the sideline cash, they got going on it. So, you know, there's been definitely a stampede of money coming in. And who's going to sell when the Fed says they're cutting rates? Not too many people. So you got to say to yourself, who's selling into this big rally? And you'd have to say the market makers are primary sellers. And if the market makers are selling, what are they in the business of losing all their money? Maybe at some point they're going to get their money back by selling up here and then it pulls back. Maybe. Huh? Okay. So let's talk about the one-year graph. And again, we can see here, it's kind of hesitating in the 60 area. But again, the lines are pointing up. So anytime I get a sell signal, and I'll show you a couple of them here, I got a sell signal in the last month over here, over here, over here, and just had one here. They are temporary. And why are they temporary? And the reason I'm not bearish that we're going to have a big drop right away is I need to get the red line on my 1 year pointing down. Like over here, it pointed down and we got a drop. It pointed down and we got a drop. It pointed down and we got a drop. Do you notice it's been pointing up the entire way? So I'm not looking for drops when it's pointing up. Do you understand? You could get a small short-term correction. You know, if you're doing day trading, weekly trading, obviously you got some chances to hit it. But can't get too comfortable because this thing is basically still in an upward trajectory. So when these things turn down, and what would have to happen for that to happen? You got to first, you got to get under the 12 SMA here, which comes in at, well, this is not SPX. This comes in at 51.34. So we're at 51.57. We were under it last week, but it didn't stay under it, right? And that's why the buy signal I got overnight here at 51.85 was a great buy signal. That's on the future. On this one, the buy signal came in. Let's tell you where it came in on the SPX on the 5 day right here. Yeah, came in at 51.15. Okay, starts turning up here. Bam. Okay. But again, so this is why, you know, right now it's still a situation where we could go to 5,300 on the S&P for all you know, because again, the trend is still up. Right. So you don't step in front of a freight train. But the idea that a reversion to the mean will be happening is something to keep in the back of your mind, because at some point they always go back to the revert to the mean at some point. When will you get an idea if it's starting the reversion? When some of the shorter term graphs start pointing down. That's not happening right now. OK, so that's the story on the S&P. Now let's get the story in some of the stuff that's going on. NVIDIA. I'll show you exactly what a reversion to the mean has helped me here. NVIDIA's gone nuts here this year, as you know, because, again, that's called going nuts. When you go from 450 to 950 in that short of a time, when you go from 250 to 1,000, that's called going nuts. Now, again, reversion to the mean. What does it mean? Okay. When you're up here at 750 and you pull back to green, that's the time if you want to buy, you buy. Okay. Or if it comes from down and goes back to red, if you want to take a shot on the buy side, that's where you take your shot. And you get a nice bounce. Right now, it's testing it again. Where is that at? 878. Okay, so as long as it can stay above 878, you could make a case. And of course, it's getting under it right now. Again, where would the pullback take you? You know, it could easily take you down here to green, which is 8814. And a full Monty pullback could take you all the way down to 765. Okay, but again, the trajectory in this thing is still up. But again, if you buy when it's way away from the average, you're going to get whacked. That in my view. Okay. So that's why you don't want to be buying into big strength. You want to try to buy against support. All right. On a 1 month graph, what's it telling you? Again, you had a big run up here. And then today you had a big run up and now it's coming rolling over. The fact that the longer it stays underneath 885, 889, 890 will increase the odds that it may have a further correction. And again, purple down here would take you to 790 ballpark. So if there is a little bit of an air pocket if it gets going on the downside, okay? On the five-day graph, what's it telling you? Again, staying under 890. Again, it's starting to deteriorate a little bit here. RSI is at 42 right now on the five-day. That's a big number. If RSI starts breaking under 40 and this thing starts breaking under 870, you're probably going to have a pretty good, you probably go and hit that air pocket. You break under 860, right? And the RSI starts breaking under 40. Okay, that'll increase the odds that you're going to have a more serious drop, in my view. Again, I'm sharing my opinion on this. So again, as far as NVIDIA is concerned, obviously it's a great company and they've got a chip everybody needs. I've been in the business a long time. You know, when chips are in shortage, obviously things are very, very bullish. What happens after chips are in shortage sometimes is they're not in shortage, or another chip comes by and competes with it, or the chips aren't doing what they were supposed to do, which is make these companies all this money. Now, again, it's all about efficiency and all that. But, you know, efficiency is a longer term process. And so the jury's still out on how efficient and how it's going to be. I had heard that with all the AI stuff that Microsoft has done, when they talk about what profitable situation can you identify to the AI, you know, they don't have much to show for it. So again, you know, the scales and positioning is extremely long on this thing. And that's why, you know, I am not a big fan of buying it at just any price. Because again, I've seen that it can have pullbacks. You want to see how it can pull back when things really change? How about if it goes from $350 all the way back to $100? How'd that happen? How long ago? Oh, less than 24 months ago it happened. Okay. And up here, it went from 500 down to 400. And again, from this level here, you know, you don't know where a pullback could take you. But again, a full pullback could be rather substantial. So I don't want to get caught with a $1,000 stock, you know, and then have to hope it goes back to 1,000 for the next how many years? Okay. Maybe it's going to go right back up there. Again, this is a wild ride, very wild ride. But if you're going to take a wild ride, in my view, you try to do it against something, you know, get it against something. So again, if I looked at the 1 year graph, it's right hanging on for dear life right here. So getting by the close, getting back above 880, it would be a very nice thing. If it doesn't, I'd have to be prepared for 814 and even as low as 764. There's a gap down here. I don't know if they're going to try to fill that, but the news would have to turn a little bit sour for that to happen. Okay, so that's the way I would be looking at the NVIDIA. When it gets up to 1,000 and you've bought it down here at these lower levels, a couple of things to consider would be protecting that money. How do you protect that money? You can either sell out of some shares and book it, right? I mean, if you bought the thing for 450 and it goes to, if you bought it for like 500 and it goes to 1,000 and you sell out half your position, you get all your money back and you get free stock. Not bad. Or you could sell calls out of the money above 1,000, take the premium and buy some puts underneath. And then you've got a collar parameter. You got upside maximum to whatever the strike was you sold the call at. And underneath, you got a floor at whatever you bought the put at. If the call pays for the put, there's no cash out of pocket that way. And then basically you've got parameters up and down on what your equity will be. And then the final thing you can do is obviously, well, there's a couple of things. You could do a replacement trade where you blow out the stock and you buy calls just in case it's going to keep going. And obviously the rest of the money's put in your pocket except for the call premiums. And then also you could just do a married put where you buy a put and you pay a premium like you do when you buy fire insurance on the house. Same thing as on the house. If the accident does not happen, the stock doesn't drop in the prescribed time and drop enough to cover the deductible, which is your premium, then obviously you lose that money. But again, sometimes that insurance can be very valuable, particularly if you're going to have a substantial drop to say to something like 760 or something like that. At any rate, I've been doing this for a long time, so this is a second language to me. I don't have to look it up in a book. I know exactly, you know, what my choices are when I do these kind of things. All right, so that's NVIDIA. And then let's look at the other guys that are in that genre, see if they're getting whacked at all today. We got AMD. Might as well see if all the darlings are in trouble today or not. Let's see. Yeah, AMD's hanging in there. But again, somebody sold it at 230 and they're not unhappy now. Now, again, reversion to the mean, right? The mean's down here. If I tell you at 230, it's going to revert to the mean. You think I have three heads, right? But I don't have three heads today, do I? Because it came right back down to it, right? So if I was interested in this thing at all, this would be the neighborhood I would be sniffing around, just like down here. Okay. All right. Let's talk about, but again, you want to talk about another reversion to the mean. Let's take a look at the 5-year graph. See, that's why it's reverting to the mean. People don't get it. This thing could really revert to the mean if it has a big drop. And again, can this stock drop? Well, it went from 160 to 60, man. So I don't think, you know, guys, I don't think you need to have more proof than that, that things can go up and down. Okay. Next one is going to be, let's look at Broadcom. Okay. On Broadcom, let's see what we're doing here. Okay. You see, again, way up here, averages down there, total reversion to the mean possibility. And you'll notice it did revert to the mean already on the 1 year. It came back to the red line. That was a minor intermediate. And now it's done a major one. And now it's got to hold on for dear life. You need this thing to do what? You need it to get back above 1273, 1294, and 1315. The longer it stays under these numbers will invert and turn over to the downside. And then, of course, it'll open the door to a more substantial drop. Okay. But if it gets back above 1273, that would be very positive for this thing at this point, because this thing is definitely, you know, under some pressure. I mean, it's lost 200 and some odd dollars, right? Okay, let's turn towards another guy out there that people are looking at, which is Qualcomm. And Qualcomm, let's see how that looks for you. Okay, again, reversion to the mean. It's up at 170 something, and it pulls back to the red line. Further reversion would take you to 160s into the 150s. Okay, what's it look like on the 20 year? Again, you know, everything's down here and it's up there. Can Qualcomm go down in price? Well, it went from 190 down to 100. So, you know, things change. But right now, this thing is very strong, very bullish. It's just, is it possible it has a reversion? And again, that's possible. Another one that everyone is very interested in this area would be Palantir. Huh? Okay, Palantir. Again, you look at it on a five-year basis. And again, it's pretty extended here, but it's definitely been going up. I love this thing for a long time, but I like it on drops. I like it on drops right here, 16. I like it on drops, right? Now, what does it do as far as reversion to the mean? Well, again, first of all, you had RSI up here at 76, and then you have it at 64. So that tells me it ran out of steam. And now it's underneath the red. That was a pullback. And then to the green, and now it's holding on to blue. So it's got to hold what? Got to hold this blue. And that comes in around 2287. If there is a air pocket underneath there, and there's also a gap down here. So under certain circumstances, it could come down there. But the RSI is trying to hang in here. So if you can hold blue, you could trade it against blue right now. And that comes in at 2287. So that's pretty much what Palantir looks like right now. Okay. So that is the story on some of the high-tech ones. If you have any other ones that you'd like to do, you could put it in the chat box and I can see what I could do to help you with that. With regards to the other stocks I talked about, Google and Apple. Google has Gemini and Apple doesn't have Gemini. And there's some talk that they may try to merge their sales and put the Gemini in the phone. And that's going to maybe be talked about in June and maybe put into action by September. If in fact that happens, that could be enough to get people to upgrade their phones. And if they upgrade their phones, there's so many of them out there that obviously it could be a real moneymaker for Apple. So it's an exciting thing if it comes to pass. I'll be looking at the trends. If the price starts indicating it's happening, of course, I'll jump in. If there's no indication on the price that it's happening, I'm not interested. But it has been helpful today on Google because Google needs some good news because it hadn't had a whole lot lately. You know, you got Facebook taking away a lot of their ad market and stuff like that. But again, I saw this coming here once we get under above the purple here. So this thing has been bullish as far as I'm concerned since about 138, 130. So, you know, right there, you got it. And then, like I say, now it's having a big bit of a runaway and it's filling that gap. You see the gap here? The low there was 150, about 153 something. Yeah, 152.78. And then today's high is 152.93. So it filled the gap today. Now we'll have to see if that's all it's doing because now it's got a gap underneath. So this thing looks very strong. It had filled the gap. It is a bit extended. So I would turn to my 1 month graph to see if this thing is rolling over and it's not. So again, it's very, very strong today on the gap up, but it's extended and it just filled that gap. So in the next days, you'd like to see, you know, if this thing can hold its water because getting above 153, right, or above the high today, 152.93, which was basically filling that gap, would indicate that there could be a lot more to come. So I'd use 153 as a line in the sand, possibly. And let's see if that number means anything on my other graphs. Okay, again, staying above 145 is the key right now. Again, buying it against the blue. Reversion to the mean, buy it against the mean. That's the way to go, in my view. Again, reverted to the mean, buy it against the mean. That's the smarter way to do it. You start buying things when they're way away from the mean, you better hope they keep running, because if they don't, you're going to be left holding the bag. And again, we're always trying to do risk management and risk reward. This just seems to be a lot better risk reward when you buy it against the mean. Okay. Let's see here what we got. All right. So that's the Google. That's the Google thing. Let's look at Apple, because Apple's gotten whacked. Is there a value to Apple? Hang on a second. Well, before we leave Google, let me just give you some long-term charts. Here, yeah, again, support here at 130. Support here coming in 145 ballpark. And again, this is a sloppy looking chart. So again, if this thing starts coming right back down again, that's not, now the RSI looks like that's not going to happen. It looks like it's going to blow out 153 and really get going. If this RSI is on its way up, it's at right now, what's the RSI? It's at 63. This 60, low 60 area is either a prelude to an acceleration phase, or it is a situation where it's going to hit a high point and then peter out. So this is very important. I'd monitor this very closely. Again, 153, 155, the highs today. And then, of course, getting back underneath this number here would not be good for Google. Let's take a look at Apple. Biggest holding for Buffett, right? So obviously there's faith in that longer term. 20-year graph, okay, you got a high point here. High point over here is 73 RSI. You notice here you're at 62. You notice here you're at 58. I say that is that's a running out of steam kind of deal. And so that's why I've been looking at the put side of this stuff quite a bit in the last month. And a reversion to the mean. So it came back to the first mean, which is 182. It broke that, came down towards the second mean, which is 165. It held that neighborhood, and it's bouncing. Looking at a five-year graph on it, again, come down to purple. This is very important. It holds this number here. So if you want a good line in the sand, you want this thing holding 165. And that was coincident to the other number, too. So 165, real big number. Sometimes it'll dip underneath it a little bit and then come right back above it. But right now, if it got underneath it, it would open the door for a more significant drop. So it's very important. And that's why it's very important that it held. Looking at the 1 month here, again, 1 year, again, reversion to the mean, ran into some steam here on the green line. Look what the high is today, 170. Where is it now? Yeah, here's the what? The high today, 177.71. Look where the green line is, 177.65. I mean, these lines mean something to me. So again, that's why it's back in a little bit of a defensive stage here. There's some more room for it to run and still be in a negative trend. So, that's the way it looks. Of course, you want to see the averages under the price if you own things. Like, that's how you made money between 165 and 200, because it was under the price and rising. On the 1 month, it has turned up a little bit, gave you a nice buy signal, 169, a little bit more. See, when the red line's moving up and the thing gets violated, as long as the red line doesn't turn down, it's probably just a baloney drop here, and it's going to get right back on the bicycle. But this thing does have overhead resistance. But again, a move towards 180 is not off the table, because there's the purple line there and you got a gap there. So again, you got gaps underneath and gaps above. Now you're monkey in the middle. Again, the better time to have taken a shot on this thing is as it was coming out of the doldrums here, here, and here. And then at least you have a little bit of an edge. But Apple, like I say, 165 area definitely is an important number. And if it breaks there, there's a real air pocket. So you would think if this thing is going to be real between the Gemini and Apple, and they're going to get some kind of a reload by the end of the year, you would imagine 160, 165 would be your worst case on the downside. And then, of course, on the upside, just imagine what kind of revenue and jump in profits they may have if they could get people to reload on the Apple phone. So keep an eye on it. Could be a good situation. I wanted to go over some of the crypto ones because, Coinbase, let's see how that's doing. Let's get on there. Bounce around a little bit here for you, because I do follow all the markets. If there's a market you're out there wanting to speak about, of course, you can speak to me after the meeting. But let me show you something here. Okay, this thing is a poster child for a reversion to the mean possibility too, isn't it? Like when it goes up here and it reverts to the mean, right? That just happened this year. So, 180 down to 110. That's a pretty good drop. if this thing has a drop now, it's a lot of real estate underneath. On the 1 year graph, again, it already reverted to the red. So again, if you were going to buy something, you know, again, when it reverts back to at least one of the lines, is a better time to take a shot at it than way up here. And then, of course, you've got risk down to the green, which is 207, and you got risk all the way down here to 180. So the bottom line is that, you know, this could be a pullback and it gets going again. Let's see what the 1 month looks like. Yeah, again, the 1 month is telling you that it has rolled over. And so the bottom line is the RSI right here is at 42. If we blow out 220 and the RSI breaks under 40, it could accelerate to the downside. You look at your 5 day, again, got everything crossing over. RSI is hanging in there at 40. So again, you start taking out some of these lows and the RSI breaks under 40, you could start accelerating to the downside. So this baby needs to get back above 245 and it needs to get back above there soon. On the 1 month, you see 245, 250. That's where you got to get above to get the ball rolling again. Because other than that, you know, there's plenty of room down here. You got a gap there that could still be filled equal to what? The 207 number right there. Okay, so that's Coinbase. And there was Mara was one that I had some put activity on simply because it looked like they were having trouble. I'll show you where that came from. First of all, it had a reversion to the mean, right? Again, what's your RSI over here? 91. What's it over here? 66. I don't need a weatherman to tell me that thing's running out of steam. So I'm looking for a drop. If I'm looking for a drop, I go to the one-month graph. And on the one-month graph, it tells me to start dropping at 30 bucks. And as you can see, this thing has just been sliding, sliding, and sliding with the blue line as a cap all the way down. Trying to make a little bit of a turn here, but, you know, again, you want to be a seller, you try to do it high. You want to be a buyer, you want to make sure this thing's turned up before, okay? So that's Mara. And again, they're halving this thing, I guess, next month. And they're halving this thing next month. And of course, that is supposed to be negative cash flow-wise for some of the miners. And these guys are in the mining business. You know, some of the other big favorites out there, Snowflake, let's see how that's doing. This thing has been a little bit of a nightmare, and that's probably why the guy retired, I guess, maybe. Who knows? But you can see that it's had a lot of volatility. The main volatility happened right here. You see when the red line turns down here, and what do you got on RSI? RSI is up here at 69.70, then it's down to 62. And then once it gets under 40, can you see right here it breaks from 58 and breaks 40, and then really it accelerates to the downside. So that thing doesn't look very good. And that was one of the big darlings for a while as well. That's why you got to be careful. You know, when things go way, way up, that doesn't mean they're going to keep doing that. Same thing on the downside. FedEx is coming out, I thought, with earnings this week. I think somebody said something about that. Let's see what FedEx looks like. Yeah, well, so FedEx doesn't look that bad. You know, as long as it can stay above 250, it looks like it could hang in there all right. On a one-month basis, yeah. You need it to, you know, keep above this 250, 252 number. And on a longer term basis, yeah, again, can you see if we can get above 250, 260, then it has a shot of really going. If this thing starts breaking under 240, I would imagine it has some more substantial drop coming. So I'd be careful of this thing because it's at 253. You start sustaining prices above 260. Okay, hang on to the thing. Starts breaking under 240, I'd have some concerns if I own that. Let's just say let's go over a couple of things that seem like they're just emerging. Okay, first of all, let's take a look at the price of oil, because this is something I've been pretty sharp on, and I'll explain why. So here we go. Crude oil, can you see it's hitting the purple line here? That's so important. And what number is that? 64, 65, 66. It doesn't hold there, it goes into the abyss. It does hold there. And then it holds the gold line here. And now it looks like it's trying to break out to the upside. If we start breaking above 85 bucks and then 90 bucks, this thing could go to wherever it wants to go. So I would be watching this closely to see if it's going to do that. Getting above today, the 81.63 number is very good because, again, that's the blue line. So closing above there and then closing above 83.70 would start really making this thing look better and better and better. And the RSI is at 52, so that means it's a relatively solid thing. There's also backwardation going on. You know what that means? That means the front month in the futures is higher than the back month, which is a definition of tight supplies, okay? All right. And we're going into the summer driving season. And every time Dick and Harry's working and every time Dick and Harry's driving someplace, probably to go out and eat and and spend money. And so that creates demand for the energy. And then, you know, places are trying to pick up steam. You know, Europe is not going to use less energy in the summer with everybody going on holiday. And then, of course, you've got China is trying to do whatever they can to get their usage up. So, you know, there's a lot of dynamic that could be positive here, particularly if it gets above the purple line here. And that comes in at $85. So you get above $85, it could really start moving, not unlike it did down here. Back in 2020, when it got above purple, that's when it really got on the horse. So get above that purple and then expect good things, okay? Also, it would be nice to get the red line and the green above purple. That's also when it actually really makes its bigger move. So the first step is get above purple. The second step is sustain it and get green, blue, and red above it. And then you can build a case for the big move. Otherwise, this thing could be just sucking people in and going right back in the tank again. Okay, so this is a critical area, not an area where you might want to just go crazy on the bullish side, an area that you might want to be aware of. Again, get on crazy on the bullish side, you do down here at 70, you know, breaking above 85 and sustaining it, that would be very interesting to see a rest of the year higher oil prices. So use that as a good gauge, I think. $85 on West Texas Intermediate and sustaining it and then getting these other averages above purple. And that will set the stage for a potential surprise move in oil. Other than that, if these things stay under purple and it can't get above 85, then the next move could surprise people the other way. So you got to be flexible with these things because they do go in both directions. Again, some of the stocks that I'm interested in here, Occidental Petroleum, trying to break out here, as you can see. And I'll tell you where I've been positive on it from. First of all, I look at the 20-year graph. And that tells me it looks like it wants to go crazy on the upside. Then I go to the 5-year graph, and it looks like it wants to go crazy on the upside. Then I look at the 1-year graph, and that's where I got in, down here at 57, 59, and the such. And you can see it's been matriculating to the upside. And so Occidental has been one of my favorites, and so far, so good. Then you've got a couple of the servicing guys. So you go over to Halliburton. And what do you do with Halliburton? You look at the 20-year graph. What do you see? You see something looks like it's trying to take off on the upside, getting above the purple line. Then you get over on the 5-year graph, and it looks like if you can get above blue here, which is at 37.92, and we're at 37.84. So we can close above blue. That'll open the door as well. Red, these things look like they're trying to turn up. So could be a bullish situation in energy. It could be massive if we can get above 85 on crude and stay there. Otherwise, they could be sucking you in to basically fade right back down. But again, you want these purple and greens above, the blue and the green and the red above purple. That's when the bigger money's being made. Okay, next one we look at here is Schlumberger. 9 million oil stocks out there. You know, these are three that I focus on. They're kind of, good companies, it looks like to me. Schlumberger on a 20-year graph, what's it look like? Okay, looks like it's trying to, it's holding the green. So if you want to buy it, you buy it on the reversion. Buy it on the reversion. Buy it on the reversion. And now it's trying to get going. Needs to get above 60 to get you into the promised land up here. Starts breaking under 48 or 49. The blue line is very powerful, though, longer term. So longer term, as you can see, it lasts years in a direction, years. And so the bottom line is a little patience and buying on the reversion to the mean probably has served people well ever since it bottomed here at $20, right? Reversion to the mean. So again, pretty interesting here. It's starting to get above purple and gold. So staying above 52, very important. If it can't stay above 52, then that's not good. So keep an eye on Schlumberger. All right, what about those precious metals and industrial metals? You know, XME? XME is the ETF on precious metals. Mining and mining metals too. So it has all kinds of metals in there. And as you can see, on a 20-year basis, let's see what it looks like. It hadn't been around that long, but it's a nice uptrend. It's a nice uptrend, and it's got a lot of real estate above it if it wants to get going, okay? So again, if you want to diversify into something tangible and material, this is one thing to do. See, again, it looks pretty darn good as long as it stays above 50, 55. And on a 1-year graph, again, try to stay above, like I say, that 55 number and get back above 58 and 60 to open up the door. So again, this thing is on the ledge as well, as many things are, because, you know, if the economy were to slow and if the Fed's going to have to keep rates higher for longer, you know, it could squeeze the liquidity out of some of these things. So that's why, you know, it's not out of the woods yet, but longer term, it's been a good thing to take a shot at on dips. 1 month has rolled over a little bit here from 59 down to 55. So again, getting back above 57 and getting moving is kind of important. Okay. Take a look at copper stock, Freeport-McMoRan. This is something I was very keen on in the 30s. Now it's in the 40s. Why was I keen on it? I'll show you. Okay. Can you see it reverted to the mean down here at the 35 mark? This thing is rising. So even if it's penetrating the stuff, if the thing's still rising, that means this is not, this is what they call an aberration. And ergo, it gets right back above it here. So as long as it was maintaining somewhat above 38 bucks, you were okay. Now it's up here. And the RSI is what? At 57. If RSI can get through the 60s, this thing can accelerate. If it can't, then this thing's still going to get some trouble. But again, you know, again, you get it in the 38s, you got some juice here between 38 and 44. If you start buying things way away from the averages, they're more risky from the standpoint of where are you going to put your stop? You'd have to put your stop down here at 38. Now you're buying at 46. What does that mean? That means what? That means you're risking a lot more money if this thing falls apart. If you get into this thing when it turns up at 38 or 39 and you put your stop at 38, you know, that's not much risk. And that's the whole idea of using the reversion to the mean as a place to get on board. Okay, so that's Freeport-McMoRan. And you can see, you know, that's where the signals came. And this is where the gravy comes from. Okay. All right. Now let's take a look at gold. And gold is a little perplexing because on some respects, it looks like it should be going through the roof. And then on others, it looks like it's stalled out. So let's take a look at gold. Okay, here's the good news on gold is that it's in an uptrend and again, holding the blue line. So where is a great place to buy the gold? Right down here at 1800, right down here again at 1840, something like that, right? And now you should be having the gravy, right? And where do you need it? You need it to hold 2000 bucks. And when it gets up to 2200 bucks, obviously it's extended and that's why it pulls back to the mean again. You know, here it was up here and it pulled back to the mean. Here it's up here. Is it going to pull back to the mean? It could. It could. Now, what I liked about this on the long-term graphs is that the red line has exceeded the former high point. You see, when this was a double top and it couldn't get through, the red line and green line never made new highs. Now they've made new highs, which would infer that this thing is going to explode to the upside. That would be the inference. Whether it's going to happen or not, who knows? But again, this RSI is pointing up pretty good. So as long as it can stay above the 2000, which is a long, see, this is what I'm trying to say. When you start getting into stuff way up here, your risk is rather substantial because if it reverts to the mean, it's going to be a problem. I know there's momentum guys who think that's the best time to buy. That's not mine. That's not my opinion. Okay. And so again, this was the time to get involved. And now up here, you're up here on a 1 year basis. Okay. You already had one reversion to the mean, 2200. Came back to the red line. Red line comes in at 2158. Right now, it's holding that number, right? It's holding that number. So that's good. That's good. Because if it breaks there, you got a big gap underneath, right? And remember, I was using numbers of 2000 and that, and you know, you could lose 100 bucks on this thing pretty easily if it started to crack. So again, it also can start taking off through the roof. So this is a critical area because it either is going to hold and go back on the bicycle. And this looks a little bit like a down flag, and maybe it'll have an up pull. Let's look at the one-month graph and see if that makes any sense. Yeah, you see, if this thing can start losing under 2150, can you see there's a gap to fill to get back towards the mean? You know, what do we say the mean was? So here you got 2100, right? What do we say the mean is over here? You know, you got this green line just under 2100. What about the mean over here? You got the red line coming in at 2068. Okay, so the bottom line is if it does break under this 2150 area, you can see that there's a pretty good shot of a gap there. Likewise, you start closing above 2170, and that'll start making the 2150, 2160 place look better. You want to get these moving averages above the blue line and rising if you think there's going to be a big move. So again, that's why we need to get some strength and sustain to make these averages turn back up. So gold, you know, still strong. Looks like it could still have a big acceleration phase at some point this year, but it also is susceptible to some reversion to the mean right now, particularly, like I say, if it breaks 2150, 2155, something like that. Silver's the other guy that's going nuts. Let's take a look at that. And then I'm going to look at a few stocks in that area. Okay, on the silver, going back 20 years on it, let's see what it looks like. Yeah, it looks like it's trying to take off, right? And that's a big, long consolidation. So if it can start getting above $26 and then $30, you don't know where it could go, right? So silver actually has quite a bit of potential, and it's not really in the news, which means it's not heavily invested in yet, which means there's potential for people to come in. Take a look at the and all the averages come right here. So it's not that far away, really. All the averages come in at 22.5, 23, something like that. On the five-year graph, you know, obviously it broke out a little bit above 23.50. And it held that 22. So 22, 23, big support area. And then right now it's a little bit extended. And that's why it's having some trouble. I think today it actually had a little reversal. Again, you know, there's your reversion to the mean area, 24, 50, 24 ballpark. And then on the 1 month, I think it may have be rolling over here. Yeah, because you got the high point here, RSI 70, ISR 75, and ARSI 61. So if it starts breaking underneath the 25 bucks, you know, these things start pointing down, it'll open the door for a further correction. But you know, RSI is kind of holding in there. So, you know, right now the support on it comes in at 25, and you know, maybe if it can hold that, you could still get going, but it seems a little bit susceptible right here. Okay, home builders. I'm really going all around because obviously I'm very knowledgeable about all the different ones. Home builders have gone, no, that's U.S. Steel. That one doesn't look so good because they called off the Nippon buyout. That's what happens when they call off the merger. These are home builders. Home builders have gone nuts. I mean, they've gone through the roof. Let's see if there's any vulnerability up here. On a 20-year basis, where are they? See, they're poster childs for reversion to the mean. What would make this thing revert to the mean? How about the unemployment rate jumps up a little bit? How about liquidity in the market drives up a little bit? How about these higher interest rates on mortgages start actually having some teeth on people? You know, how about some of this consumer spending, you know, starts sobering up a little bit? You know, a lot of things that could make this thing change around a little bit. So that's pretty far away from the averages. So it would not be my cup of tea. Reversion to the mean, you got it over here. Held the red line, so it could come back here like that. And then on the 1 year, again, reversion to the mean, then that would be more. But again, very bull market. Let's get it straight here. I mean, you know, if you look at some of these people like Toll Brothers, you know, very big bull market. But I think Lennar announced some things that were a little more sobering. So there's, you know, there's your 20, what's your 20-year graph on it? I mean, come on, you know. So, like I said, if you want to buy stuff like this, you buy it against 70, right? You want to buy stuff like this, you up here, you're just looking at gravy. And up here, if you did own it, you might consider some type of protection device, which is what? Married puts, replacement trades, collars, you know, sell out of some of your stock to pay, you know, to reduce your risk, you know, that kind of thing. Lennar was another one that I think didn't have the best news in their report. Let's take a look at that one. Okay, yeah. See, that's still strong. Still strong as heck. Look at that. Boom. Have it on a short-term basis. Any kind of rollover? Yeah, you know, like I said, the report wasn't very good. So, you know, if you have an RSI at 62 and then you have it at 58 and you break under the red line, that's where you take your shot. And right now that shot has been good for about 10 or 12 bucks. Not bad. Especially if you're doing short-term trading. That's the kind of stuff you want to take a look at. Okay. What else did I want to do? What I wanted to do is go over small caps and mid caps. Some people say this is the kind of stuff you got to look at because it has better valuations and it hasn't already gone to new highs. Okay. So let's take a look at IWM and see what that means. Okay. Let's go back on the 5 year graph and you can see it's trying to break out, right? Let's see what RSI is there, 64. And over here, it's 65. So it's not diverging. That's good. See, over here, you had to watch out because the RSI went from 60s and then up here it was at 60 and then it dropped back to 57 and got under. Right now, again, you want it to stay above about 200. It's at 202. So if it gets under 200, that probably wouldn't be very good for this thing. Gets under 190 again, it would be very bad for the thing. But again, if you're, you know, again, if it get under 200, see 200 again? If it gets under 200, it'll open the door to come down here. If it got down here, And we aren't in a recession of any type, and you know, we don't have any event going on. It could be a reasonable thing to do. But you can see that it has not made an all-time high like the other ones. This is the all-time high up here, right? And you're still way down here. So you're good 20% underneath the all-time highs, which could be telling you that this seven-man race that took us up to these high prices is not going to be enough to hold up the whole thing. And this is more reality. Or this is going to play a mean game of catch-up. Another two things that could make a mean game of catch-up are mid-caps. Let's take a look at the Vanguard mid-cap fund. And if you look at the 20-year graph, I think it goes back there. Yeah. Like I say, it turned up here at about 190. It's above the blue line, so it looks good. But it hasn't taken out the high yet. So this could be where there's potential. These are mid-caps. Five-year graph. Again, buy signal right here, 190, 200. RSI 66, RSI 68. Not bad. On a one-year graph, reversion to the mean and could have another one to blue. Getting back above red, which is 231, would be good. And if it gets under 225, air pocket. There's a lot of air pockets out there, guys. If they change the tune on these markets, there's plenty of air pockets out there. That's why you got to be careful. On the 1 month, again, rolled over a little bit here. So again, if this thing starts breaking under 229, it would open the door for lower levels. So I would look at a break under 229 and the RSI on this thing breaking under 40. So if you get under 229 and under 40, then you're going to open the door for a more significant drop, and that could even be, that could bring it back to as low as 210 to hit the purple. Okay, so we looked at the small caps, we looked at the mid caps, and now look at the small. And then here's another one for small caps, and there's small cap growth. Oh, not Visa. How's Visa look though? Oh, very high. Everyone's using those credit cards. Let's see. It's everywhere you want to be, except that it's extended. That's the only thing. RSI over here was 66. RSI here is about the same. If you make a big, big new high and the RSI is not that much difference, that's not great. Yeah. So this thing is definitely in. Let's see over here what it looks like. RSI is in the 60s. Up here, it is at 60 again. Yeah. Again, looks great. But if it starts breaking under 280, 275, I'd be more nervous about it. That's Visa. Okay. I wanted to go to VBK so I could show you the small cap growth. You saw the mid-cap growth. You saw the IWM, and now you're going to see this one. Go back 20 years. You see, it hasn't taken out the high. That's why they're saying is if this thing is going to broaden out, if this thing is going to lift all boats, well, those are three boats I'm showing you that need lifting, right? And there could be potential there. So I'd rather look at, you know, energy stocks that might be going, small cap stocks that might be going, mid-cap stocks that might be going, and then loading up at 1,000 on NVIDIA and hoping it goes to 1,500. And it could be a great trade, but you're going to feel like an idiot if you buy it at 1,000 and has a pullback to 700. And then you're on a conga line of hoping to get your money back, and that's a bad conga line to be on. So if this is going to be a broad-based thing, you know, these are the areas that might be pretty good. Again, when you get big moves on this thing, green and red are above blue, and that's not happening. So again, all of these markets may just be having rallies that are going to fizzle out. So the jury is still out, but this would be something to put on your radar. See, again, this thing got everything looks good on this one, much more so on the 5-year, you know, because this stuff is all there. Could have a reversion to the mean a little bit, but again, it looks like the trends are trying to change. Again, had a reversion to green. Is it going to have a reversion to blue? It's possible. Where's blue at? 248. If it goes through there, is there an air pocket? Yes, there is, all the way down here. So if we were going to have a full Monty correction in later this month or next month, April, this is the gaps that are going to probably be, this is some of the action that you're going to see. If we're not, and it's soft landing all the way, and the Fed's going to cut in June and July, and inflation's going to come right back down again, and everyone's going to be happy and go lucky, then obviously this pullback is where you'd buy. And then when happy days are here again, starts playing again, you know, then you'll get a big rally. So again, I'm not bearish on it. I'm just aware. And I'm aware of what? Reversion to the mean could happen. And again, the positioning in the market now is certainly bullish. The market came up because of the Fed supposed to cut interest rates, and this AI boom is supposed to save the world. If one of those two things or both of those things don't happen, the market is not positioned for that. And if it had to reprice, since everyone is leaning on the long side, Imagine if a lot of people want to come out and there's no buyers, that can do a little meltdown a little bit as well. Okay, one last thing before I close out, I'm going to show you the VIX. Ah, not the Veeam, I said the VIX. The VIX is a volatility index, and if anybody knows any about options, it's an important thing to keep an eye on. And I'll tell you why. Because right now, you can see on a 20-year basis, the VIX is very low. When the VIX is very low, it's susceptible for going up and spiking up. And if you go back to April and March timeframes, sometimes it spikes up during April and March. So that's why I'm focusing on it. You go to the five-year graph, you can see it's above the moving averages as far as the red line. And I think if it breaks above 1480 and 15, it's possible that it's going to spike up in the next 6 weeks. If it spikes up in the next 6 weeks, we will have a market correction. That's what I'm looking for. Hasn't happened yet, so I'm not doing anything like that. But I'm watching, and I'm very much ready. So the bottom line is, and if you notice the VIX, it had a low in December of 1181, and then the low in January was higher, and the low in February was higher, and the low this month is higher. That sounds like a teapot that's boiling and possibly going to run. So I look over here and I see here, can you see if we break above this gold and the purple here, which comes in where? See 1474, that's where I want it to close above. And if it closes above 1540, then you could have a spike up of significance. And does that look like it's building like a little bit of a fire that could blow off? I think so. So there's my final tip of the day. Keep an eye on the VIX. If it closes above 1480 and 1540, you could expect a potential spike. And if it has a potential spike, I don't think the S&P is going to be immune from a drop. So that's my last thing I'd say. All right, I got 2 minutes to tell you what I can do for you, and then you can figure out what you want to do. I'm Jim, the Option Professor, and I got a couple of things I can do. One is I have a link to my indicators here, and I can send that to you. Then I can have a one-hour meeting at least online meeting like we're talking now, and we can go over markets I like, we can go over markets you like, we can discuss option strategies, we can talk about adjusting positions, and we can talk about many different markets, and I think we could probably educate you quite a bit because, like I say, I've traded thousands of these options, and I've been to the Options Institute in Chicago for advanced option training. So the likelihood I may know more than most people on this is quite high. Also, I'm a balanced presentation guy. I'm not going to say things are going to go up 500% or down 200%. We're going to balance risk and reward when we talk. And we're going to discuss risk management, which can come in handy, particularly when the markets had big run-ups like this. And so there's a lot to learn, and we can do this all online. And I don't charge monthly. I don't charge annually. We just charge for the session. A very, very, I call it less than going out to dinner amount of money. Okay, so what you got to say to yourself is this, is, you know, you want to put up a little money to talk to a guy who's been doing it a long time, who's traded thousands of these things, who obviously knows out of all the different markets, from the stocks to the metals to energy to tech, you know, semiconductors. You know, I know how to analyze all of them. And then basically, I know all the different strategies that you could look at. And you might be doing some strategies now, and I could tweak maybe your methodology and help you that way. Because a lot of people are running around, you know, writing options for 50 cents, and they think it wins 9 times out of 10. And they don't realize that, you know, that 10th time it doesn't work can be really damaging. So the bottom line is I can work with you on timing, because that's what these indicators are all about. I use the moving averages to give me the trend. I give the RSI to give me my momentum. Now, a lot of people have that information, but how we interpret it is the key. And basically, people come to me to hear my interpretation. All right. So basically, how do you get a hold of me? You go to optionprofessor.com, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor, P-R-O-F-E-S-S-O-R.com. You put your information in. I call you back. I go, hi, this is Jim. When would you like to get together? Or would you like me to explain exactly how I can help you? And then you make your decision. Or you could do it faster by just doing a quick email. Email me option, O-P-T-I-O-N, professor, at gmail.com. Okay. Now, like I say, there's a lot going on right now, and I don't think it's going to be boring in the next 6 weeks. So I think this is a great time for us to get together, whether you're not in the market and you want to see about getting in, or you are in the market and you kind of don't know exactly what you'd like to do. I think our conversation could have a lot of, could bear quite a bit of fruit. All right. So I'll talk to you then. This is Jim, the Option Professor. Until we talk again, good luck and good trading. And thanks a lot for being with us today. Have a great day, everybody.